Yo. All right, on. Wonderful. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You find your text this morning in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. And when you found your place, if you would please stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, we will begin reading in verse number 29. And the Bible says, "And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard, and David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him." I want to preach this morning with God being our helper. There is a cause. David presents to us, is there not a cause? And I want to tell you this morning, there is a cause. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day. And God, I thank you for all the many blessings that you've given to me, God, through my life. And God, I thank you most of all for salvation in Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you've chosen us, God, to get to come and preach your word today. Father, I pray that you'd help us, God, to preach your word. God, I pray that you'd pour your Holy Spirit down upon us this morning. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit be magnified. God, that you'd be magnified this morning. Father, we praise you and we give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning here in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, a very familiar text. We see that there is a giant named Goliath, and the Philistine army has come up against the Israelites. And so I want to see, firstly this morning, I want to see the defiler's cause. The defiler, he has a cause. This Philistine army has risen up here against Israel. They are battling in the valley of Elah. The Philistines are on one mountain, and the Israelites, they're on the other mountain. And they are coming into this valley for the fight. And these Philistines, they have their own cause. Their cause is to destroy Israel. Out of this group of the Philistine army marches a man who is a giant, and his name is Goliath. And he is mentioned here as a giant. And Goliath said, "If a man can kill me, then the Philistines will be your servants. But if I win, then you, Israel, will be our servants." So here comes this giant, and he's making threatenings and slaughterings against these Israelites. And I think today that Goliath is a representation of Satan versus the church. Goliath said in verse number 10, he said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day." That means he defies God this day. That means he defies all Christians this day. So I tell you this morning that Satan is Goliath. Satan, he hates the church. Satan, he hates the Christians. Satan, he hates you if you are saved. And even if you ain't saved, Satan, he hates you. The devil's sole mission this morning is to silence the church. He does not want people to tell other people about Jesus. He does not want you to tell about the goodness of God. And his sole purpose is to silence the church. Israel, here in this battle, Goliath is trying to silence Israel. Goliath is trying to defeat Israel. Goliath is rising up against Israel. And Satan, he is trying to do the exact same thing. And all these Israelite soldiers are scared and shaking in their boots. This morning in John chapter 10, verse number 10, the Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy." And then Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And then 1 Peter goes on in 5:8 to say, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And then John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Then 2 Corinthians 2:11 goes on to say, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And then we can go on in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world." So we see some characteristics of Satan. He is crafty this morning, but the Bible tells us that we are not ignorant of his devices. And so we see that Goliath, he is threatening and he is mocking against the people of God. And because he's mocking the people of God, he is utterly mocking God Almighty. He is attacking God's people. And this morning, each and every one of you, Satan is attacking you. He is mocking and cursing God, and he is mocking and cursing you. I think about Job. When Job was fixing to be in a trial, Satan presented himself before God, and God looked at him and he said, "Satan, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm going to and fro upon the earth." And he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he said, "Job will curse you to your face if you will take away the hedge that you put about him." And because he did finally take that hedge away, and Job was under the attack of Satan. Satan, he is going before God and he is cursing and he is mocking you this morning. He does not want to see Fletcher First Baptist this morning flourish. He does not want to see your church grow. He does not want to see your family get saved. He does not want to see your family flourish in the Lord. He does not want to see the youth of this church get on fire from God. He does not want to see this church go on to do great and mighty things for the Lord. Satan's whole purpose is he wants to destroy this church. His whole purpose is he wants to lead the youth down a stray way. He wants to mock and curse, and that is what he is trying to do. His cause is to see your destruction this morning. His cause is to mess up your life. The Bible says that his cause is to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm glad that the Bible doesn't end there with just seeing the defiler's cause. I want to see, secondly, that there is a divine cause. I see this morning that David, he comes to this battle to check on his brothers, to bring them food. And as he comes, he hears what Goliath has to say. He does not hear him saying stuff against his own father. He does not hear Goliath saying stuff against David. He does not hear Goliath saying stuff against his brothers. But what he hears is he hears Goliath cursing and mocking God Almighty. And that raises something up inside of David. The more that this giant cursed and profaned the name of God, the more something burned inside of David. David said, Is there not a cause? And I believe when he looked at everybody and said, is there not a cause? He was thinking in his head, there is God's cause. He said, there is a cause and it is God's. I believe that when David was hearing this, he got to thinking about when he was just an old shepherd boy out keeping the sheep. And he was overlooked by his family when the prophet come to town and the prophet come to ordain the new king. But as his family looked over him, God did not look over where David was. David come down there and was anointed to be the king of Israel. I believe that David never got over when he got put under that oil of the anointing of an almighty God. And I tell you this morning, I'm in the same boat. I have not got over about when I got under the blood of an almighty Jesus Christ. I have not forgotten about the day that Jesus came into my heart. I have not forgotten about the day that Jesus came and washed me white as snow. I have not forgotten about the day that Jesus came and he took my sins from me and he said, you are worthy. And he said, you can go your way. You have been set free. And this morning I have not got over that night on August the 3rd, 2010 at Lackey Town Baptist Church in Old Fort, North Carolina. When Jesus come by my way and he said, I'm here to save you. And I said, I looked at my mom, I said, Mom, I gotta go to that altar. And I went to that altar and I knelt down and I called on the Lord to save my soul. And from then on, it's been different now. Do I have a witness this morning? Have you been set free from your sins? I get to thinking about how David, he's saying, that the Lord is my light and my strength. He said he is my rock and my shield. In Psalms 40 verse 11, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet up on a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I tell you this morning, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. I was on my way to a devil's hell when he come by my way and picked me up out of a horrible pit. This morning, he is worthy of our witness to go out and tell others about him. This morning, he is worthy of our service to do for the cause of Christ. This morning, he is worthy of our giving and our tithes and our offerings. This morning, he is worthy of our praise. Too many times we sit around and we don't give him the praise that he deserves. Too many times we don't serve him the way we ought to serve him. Too many times we don't give to him as we ought to give. He's given so much to us. Why can't we just give a little bit to him? This morning, there's too many times that we are half-hearted for the cause of Christ. And David's saying, there is a cause, and it is the cause of Christ. He said this morning, he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of all things. He said, he is glorious. He said, he is honorable. He said, God, he is the word. And he said, he deserves our all. He deserves our best. He deserves everything that we could possibly give to him. This morning, he is worthy. I think about that he's wonderful. And I think about that he's our savior. And I think about that he's our shepherd. And I think about that he is the good Samaritan. And I think about how he is our anointing this morning. I think of how he is our atonement this morning. He is the Lord of Lords. And he is the King of Kings. He is the Prince of Peace. And this morning he is wonderful. And he deserves everything that we could possibly give to him. And David, he hears these cursings and he said, he is cursing my God. He said, there is a cause for this fight and it is God's cause. You see, this morning, if Israel is defeated here in this battle, there would likely be no birth of the Savior. If Israel would have been servants to the Philistines, all of Israel as we know it would have probably been lost.
This was an important battle. And I believe that the devil knew what he was doing in having this battle come up. The devil has been trying for centuries to rid the world of the coming Christ. And now that Christ has come, he is trying to rid the world of the fact that Christ has come. And his sole purpose now is to cover it all up and say it never happened. And before then, he was trying to make sure it couldn't happen. But I tell you that David, he does go win this battle without any spoilers here. He does go and win this battle. And we see that from David comes the line of Christ. And the cause of Christ is to seek and save that which is lost. So we see, secondly, the divine cause. I want to see, thirdly, this morning, the domain's cause. That is the nation of Israel. They have a cause. I believe that David, he looks about and sees all these soldiers here, and he looks around and he sees that they are all scared absolutely to death. Goliath is cursing and mocking them. Goliath is threatening them. And I believe that David, he hears this and he looks around and he sees a bunch of soldiers shaking in their boots. And matter of fact, not only does he see soldiers shaking in their boots, but he sees their king shaking, scared absolutely to death about what this giant is going to do to them. They are absolutely scared. And I believe that David, he looks around and he said, is there not a cause? And I believe when he said it, he looked and he said, my people, they need me. These people are scared absolutely to death and they need me. He's saying, my father, he needs me. He's saying, my brothers, they need me. My king, he needs me. This nation, it needs me. And I tell you this morning, I believe he said, my family needs me. My brethren needs me. This morning, your church needs you now more than ever before. Your family needs you more now than ever before. I tell you this morning, the lost needs you now more than ever before. This nation needs your prayers now more than ever before. And David, he looks around and he says, there is a cause, and it's the cause of this nation. It's the cause of my people. It's the cause of this people. And this morning there is a cause, and there's a cause for our nation to come back to God. There's a cause this morning for this church to get on their knees before an almighty God and say there is a cause, and it's time to have the fire burn bright inside of us once again, because there's a cause. This morning, I believe he saw and he looks around and he sees that he is not alone. David, he looks around and he sees, I've got all these soldiers here with me, and I'm not fighting this battle on my own. And he says, most of all, I've got God on my side, and I am not alone. I tell you this morning, church, we are not meant to do this life alone. We are to do this life together. We are not built to be alone. This morning, we are to stand together. In this church house, we are to weep together. In this church house, we are to worship together. I tell you, we are to pray together. And we are also to fight in this battle together. And one of these days, when Jesus comes back, we are going to leave together. I don't think y'all got it. We are to come in here and we're to worship together. We are to come in here and we're to weep together. We're to work together. We're to serve together. And one of these days, we are going to leave together. Amen. One of these days, Jesus is coming back for us all. If you are saved, bought, and redeemed, and we are going to leave together. Now, I get to thinking, a couple weeks back, me and my wife, we got tickets to go down to the Clemson football game. They're playing against NC State. And we went down to the downtown area called Tiger Town. And we was going down there to find us some food. And we texted Troy, Zach, and Tristan and said, hey, come meet us down there. We'll go eat. And as I was walking through the crowd of people, I looked around and I started seeing people walking with buttons on their shirts, and it said, "Go Clemson, hashtag beat state." And I got to thinking about how all those people were wearing those buttons, and they're in support of something. They are supporting that the Tigers go out here and win the game. They are all together in this fight. From the fans to the team, they are saying, "We are together." And this morning I got to thinking about, or in my studies, I got to thinking about how they were wearing these buttons, stating that they are in this fight together. And I got to thinking about how as Christians, we need to be wearing a button every day that says, "Go Jesus, let's defeat Satan." That is what we need to be wearing and supporting as Christians every day. That we are in this battle and we are to fight our foe. And that is Satan. I get to thinking about James Lawrence. He was a U.S. Navy captain back in the War of 1812. On June 1st, 1813, his crew was locked in a fight. And in this fight, Lawrence was shot. And as he was dealing with this fatal injury and about to die, he looked around at his soldiers, his crew, and he said, "Don't give up the ship." And the words, "Don't give up the ship," became a rallying cry for the U.S. Navy. Even still unto this day, it is still a rallying cry for the Navy. Don't give up the ship. So this morning, church, what I want to tell you most of all is don't give up the ship. Don't give up on Sunday school teaching. Don't give up on singing in the choir. Don't give up on singing the songs of Zion. Don't give up on preaching and teaching out of God's holy word. Too many churches are doing it nowadays where they don't really use the Bible anymore in their teaching and in their preaching. They just kind of put it off to the side and teach and preach on some other subject that people won't get offended by. And I tell you this morning, don't give up on coming to church. Don't give up when you're down. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up the ship. Don't give up the church. There's too many things relying on this church right now. The youth, they need you this morning. Youth, the adults, they need you this morning. Kids out there, your families, they need you this morning. Mothers and daddies, your kids, they need you this morning. They need you to be good, godly influences in their life. Kids, the schoolhouses need you to be lights along this dark world. This morning, church, you are to go out, you are to witness, and you are to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's not okay to hang your head in shame about being saved. We are to be proud of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And we are to walk around and we're to tell others about Jesus. And we're not to give up the ship this morning. We do not need to give up on soul winning. We do not need to give up on preaching about the blood of Jesus. We do not need to give up on singing about the blood of Jesus. There's too much in this day that's riding on it. This world, they need to hear about how Jesus come to this earth and bled and died for the sins of this world. And that he got up glorious on the first day of the week. And that he is the only way to salvation. Compromise this morning is not the cause. Giving up this morning is not the cause. Turning back is not the cause. The cause is to keep moving forward. The cause is to keep serving Christ. The cause is to keep trusting God. The cause is that you are needed this morning in this fight. There is a cause, and it is the domain's cause. And I want to see lastly, fourthly, we see that there is David's cause. I believe that David, he is here, and I believe, no doubt, he is intimidated. I mean, all these soldiers who's been fighting for years and years, and they've got all this valor, all these war memories, they are scared to death. So obviously, David should be scared to death too. He's no warrior. He's just a kid. He's just a boy. And I believe that he's got to be scared to death. He looks and he sees his king. All types have been out of shape. And I believe that he knows that this nation that he is in is in jeopardy. I believe that he knows that the spiritual heritage of Israel is in jeopardy. It is here and it is on the line. But he hears the name of God being profaned. He hears God's name being dragged through the mud. And as he hears, he's sitting there probably, he's sitting back. And as he hears what is being said, he stands up and he looks around and he sees all his people scared absolutely to death. And he looks and he says, is there not a cause? He said, there's something welling up inside of me that I just cannot hold back. He said, there is a fire inside of me that I have got to let out. And he said, I cannot sit on the sideline of do nothing in this moment. He said, I cannot stand idly by. He said, I cannot stay neutral on this situation. He says, if it costs me my life, then it is worth it. He, I bet he looks around and he says, I know I'm young. I know I'm inexperienced. I don't have all the fancy equipment for this battle. I've never been in a battle before in my life. But he says, something's welling up inside of me. Something's calling me. There's a burning in my soul. He says, I got to call. I've got to get into this battle. He says that God's anointing is on me, and that is all that I need. And he says there is a cause, and I have got to fight in this battle. He's feeling a tug that he's got to fight. Today, church, I wonder, are you feeling a tug that it's time to start fighting in the battle? I have a cause this morning, and church, you personally have a cause this morning. God is good this morning, and Calvary is calling. Heaven is real, and hell is real as well. And there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. I believe that here, as we see David, and he says, I'm too young to fight in this fight, but I have God on my side. In verse number 34, we see that David, he says, and David sent unto Saul, thy servant, kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. So we see David, he's looking at King Saul and he said, I can go fight in this fight. He said, I have God on my side. And I believe that he looks at him and he says, here's an experience from my life. He said, I was keeping the sheep one day, and a lion came and rose against me and took one of the sheep out, and a bear as well. And he said, and I got there and I smote the lion. Now hear what it's saying when it says that he grabbed and he smote the lion. That means that he slapped the lion through the face. He grabbed the lion and he slapped the lion through the face, and then he slew him. It says, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. So he went and he got this old lion and he grabbed the lion by the beard and he slapped the lion through the face. And that's what we ought to be doing as Christians. We ought to be going and we ought to be grabbing that old devil by the beard and slapping him right through the face. And when he did, he got that old sheep away from him, and then he slew the lion. I see that then David, God says that he would send a savior to come. And Satan thought, if I can destroy Saul, that there will be no Israel and there will be no savior. And so we see that God's anointed, a shepherd boy, comes out onto the battlefield. And he's wielding only a sling and a stone. And he comes out there and he picks one of them stones up and he looks at that giant. And that giant, he mocks David's size and he mocks that he's so young. And David, he rears back that sling and he lets that rock go. And it's like a heavenly guided missile. And it strikes that giant right between the eyes. And then God shoved him down onto his face. And so with a sling and a stone, the giant was defeated, and Israel survives to live another day. I think about how 2,000 years ago, a heavenly and anointed king named Jesus came from David, the line of the tribe of Judah, and he went on a hillside called Calvary. And that day he did not take a sling and a stone to defeat a giant, but that day he took a wooden cross and three nails and all of his blood, and he cried that it is finished. And when he did, the battle, it was won. With three nails and a cross, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And so he says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is anybody. And this morning, that is the cause. David, he was outnumbered. He was out experienced. But this morning, he was not out anointed. He said, the God that gave me the lion, he said, the God that gave me the bear is the same that's going to take care of this enemy. And he said, he's been faithful to me. And he said, because he's been faithful to me down through the years, I'm going to be faithful to him. And this morning, God has been faithful to me. And I believe that God has been faithful to you. And so it is our reasonable service to be faithful to him, because there is a cause. It is your own personal cause. God's always been faithful, and God hasn't ever failed. And I believe his word, and his word is going to stay true. I believe we live this morning in a free country because there was a generation that lived on before us that saw a cause. I believe that this church was built here today because there was a generation that saw a cause. I believe today that there is a cause to go out and sing the songs of Zion. I believe today there is a cause to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that there is a cause to go out and send missionaries from country to country and throughout our own country as well. And I believe that there is a cause to go out and to witness to your neighbor. I believe that there is a cause to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. Today we do not need to be defeated. Today we do not need to be discouraged. Today we do not need to be down and out. Today we do not need to be downtrodden. Today there is a cause, and it's time to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. It's time to get out on the battlefield and stop sitting on the sidelines of do nothing. Today there is a cause, and it is the cause of Christ. Look around at our country this morning. There is most definitely a cause. We can name off all the many different issues that's going on in the world which we live in today. And our ancestors, I believe, would be ashamed. And this morning, there is a cause for this church. There is the domain's cause. There is his own personal cause. And there is a divine cause. If you would stand to your feet this morning, Pastor, if you would come. There is a cause, church.
Thank you, Luke, for that message. So true, there is a cause. David was faithful, David was willing, but the message was for you, for me. There's a cause today, as we realize all the hurt, and all the lost people, you know them, I know them. David did something about it. He didn't need Saul's uniform, he didn't need Saul's sword. All we need is what God provided. And God provided you. Your heads are bowed. Altar's open. You have loved ones. You have children, grandchildren, neighbors, cousins. Many of them. My family and your family too are lost. Altar's open. Would you please come and just say, Lord, I'm available. David did that. He made himself available. And God is looking for you, as he said, just a reasonable